Thanks for listening to Shift Your Spirits. I'm Slade Robertson. For 13 years, I've been a professional intuitive and personal development blogger. I try to talk about spirituality with fewer hearts and flowers than most New Age blather. I also mentor emerging intuitives, psychics, and healers in a program called Automatic Intuition. It is Wednesday, January 9th, 2019, as I record this introduction. This week, I have a little personal diatribe about comparing yourself to others, imposter syndrome, and shoulding all over yourself. That's coming up in just a few minutes. As always, there's an oracle segment at the end of the show, so be thinking about a question or a concern you have. Hold it in your mind, and I'll come back on after the final links and credits and leave you with that extra channeled message. In personal news, so you've heard me talk before about the fact that I don't really remember my dreams. So even though a lot of people post their cool dreams in the Shift Your Spirits community on Facebook, I rarely chime in with those because I just don't really have a lot of those types of dream stories to share. But I often have vivid visions at the end of yoga classes during Shavasana, which is the kind of final, fully melted into the floor, everything is relaxed, and you're lying there for a while at the end. So if you've taken a yoga class, you know how they end. But for those of you who haven't, at the very, very end, you are almost napping, kind of meditating, just letting everything go and coming back into yourself at your own speed. So since the main segment this week is not super long, I thought I'd share some more about this return to yoga that I just did. And it wasn't really like an intentional New Year's thing or anything like that. I just had the impulse to go back to it after, I want to think it could be 6 years. It's been at least 5 years since I practiced regularly. And before that, there was a maybe like a 4 year period where I did yoga pretty much 5 days a week, 6 days a week, 7 days a week. I at least went to classes 5 days a week. And I started doing yoga after having surgery to repair a hernia, and I was trying to rebuild my strength. And at the same time, I was still smoking. I had smoked for, I don't know, like 20 years or something. And I was outside smoking a cigarette while, you know, I was recovering from surgery. And I was just in that moment like, okay, this isn't going to work. I need to, you know, end this and make something happen here with the smoking. And I had the impulse to replace that behavior with something else, which wasn't like a unconscious impulse or anything. It was something that I had been thinking about for a really long time. I knew that if you quit an addictive behavior, it does create sort of a vacuum for other things. And I thought, I need something really good, really perfect to fill that vacuum with. And I'd never successfully come up with anything in the past. But that year, I think it was 2009 or 2010, I thought, you know, yoga represents the breath and smoking is kind of related to the breath. What if I just really go all in on yoga as a way of transitioning away from smoking? Maybe it'll help me handle some of the stress and it'll sort of put me in touch with my lungs and with healing that part of my body in a real literal kind of way. So anyway, that's what took me into it originally, was quitting smoking. And I came back strength-wise. It was a great, gentle way to regain core strength after something like a surgery. And I got really super into it. I discovered the social aspect of working out and fitness, which has carried forward and just become such a huge part of my life. And at the point where I left off doing yoga, I was considering doing the yoga teacher training courses simply as a way to kind of challenge myself and elevate my practice to something new. And I didn't really see myself necessarily getting a job as a yoga teacher, but I felt like, well, it wouldn't be a bad thing for me to have in my pocket. It is somewhat related to a lot of the things that I do and talk about. It wasn't a far-fetched concept, but really I wanted to do it more because I felt like I was plateauing a little bit and I just needed something more. And I'd gotten to the point where I was doing almost exclusively power yoga, like really strength training stuff. And some of the women that I was friends with in my power yoga classes came to me and said, you've got to come do this circuit breaker class with us, which is a high intensity interval training. It's a CrossFit class, but we can't call it CrossFit because it's not in a CrossFit gym. And I was like, oh, Lord, you know, there's no way that I can do that kind of stuff. And they were like, no, you really can and you'd love it. And so I went and was immediately into it for a million different reasons, but there were so many signs I was supposed to be there. And I got so into doing that new workout that I really stopped doing yoga. And I've been doing those high intensity interval workouts, circuit breaker, kettlebells, CrossFit style workouts for like 5 or 6 years now. And so I never really meant to leave or to stop doing yoga. As a matter of fact, I always thought, oh, well, you know, I need to intersperse yoga with some of this other stuff that I'm doing. But I was so thwarted because every single yoga class I wanted to take seemed to be at the exact same time as the other thing. And as much as I loved yoga, I had moved on to something else and I really had to kind of choose, and I chose to do what I've been doing. But anyway, so fast forward to about 2 weeks ago, a friend of mine, now going in the other direction, comes to me in that fitness class and says, hey, your friend Jonathan is now teaching a Wednesday night yoga class at 5:30, which was one of the days and times that I was always like, I wish they had a yoga class at this day and time. And it would perfectly work with my schedule. And so there it was. And she told me about it just a matter of days before last Wednesday. And I thought, oh, okay, cool, I'm going. And so I just showed up and he was pleasantly surprised and excited to see me there. And I kind of expected to suck, by the way, because I haven't done this in a really long time. And I wasn't as flexible, but I am a lot physically stronger. And my balance is still really good and strong, probably stronger than I realized, because the balance and the strength are principles of all this fitness stuff, right? I mean, I've been doing all of it. It's not like I stopped working out. Kettlebells and CrossFit use different terms for flows and complexes and exercises, but there's so many times that I'm in like a kettlebell workout and I'm awkwardly trying to follow some strength pose that we're doing. And then I'm finally like, oh, it's a half moon just with a 35 pound weight on the top of the whole thing, like a cherry on a cupcake or whatever. So I was surprised in the yoga class at how much I noticed how strong my body was in the poses. Definitely the flexibility was not as good, but that's, you know, one of the benefits of doing both. So balance and strength, been doing those. So much of the foundations between the two, you know, kind of overlap. So I was actually pleasantly surprised that I didn't sort of make a fool out of myself and like fall over or be, you know, really awkward or anything like that. So anyway, put a pin in that. We're in my return to yoga class, right? But before I explain to you what happened during Shavasana and the visions, I have to take you back to at the first of the year. Ian Allen, who is someone in our community, who's been on the show, by the way, posted a New Year's tarot message, like a little numerology thing you do where you add up your birthday to this calendar year and you reduce the number down to 2 digits. And that major arcana card, which are numbered cards, is sort of your quote unquote message or theme for the year. And I got the devil, and I was like, great. You know, the one thing that always kills me about astrology and tarot and some of these really old archetypal systems is they will have these Old Testament medieval qualities to them that's a little bit hard for us to sometimes translate in the moment to the new age. You know, cards like the death card, yeah, you know intellectually that it stands for something else, but it's still, you know, the skulls and evil faces and stuff, it kind of has some negative triggering connotation to it. So I posted in the group and was like, great, I got the devil card, and, you know, here's what Google says it means, and it just sounded kind of all gloom and doom and terrible. And I was like, I would love for some of you who know more about tarot and interpret it differently to reframe it for me. Give me something a little bit better and more constructive. So basically what we came away with was, you know, the idea that it's related to kink or adventure or excitement in some way, and ultimately what I took as a message of shadow work. And I'm like, okay, I got it. You know, I'm Moon in Scorpio, Scorpio rising, and I'm a Leo. So it's like my astrology, my natal trinity is like Aslan dressed in Aeon Flux armor or something, you know, like that's the superhero version of how I see myself. So I'm not a stranger to shadow worker embracing that at all, but it was very much on my mind, like, well, crap, if that's my theme for the year, how am I going to embrace that more? The thought of embracing my shadow more than I already do is a little bit like nerve-wracking in a way, like, okay, proceed with caution because this could be a slippery slope. So I took that into class. That was very much on my mind, was kind of trying to process this idea of the devil and my shadow and like working with that as a theme. And normally, you know, these kinds of things, if I don't like them, I just throw them out and move on. But it stuck with me in some way. So we're in Shavasana, which is the pose at the end. You're just lying there. Everything is relaxed. And I often imagine that I'm like floating on my mat as if it's afloat on a swimming pool or a lake or a pond or something like that. And I end up spooning my shadow as we're lying there. It's like he sort of slipped up through the floor, like it was the surface of a lake that I was floating on. And my shadow was like this 11-year-old version of me, but long-haired, which was sort of slicked back from swimming, like an otter and a dolphin and a gray merman, but also like made out of velvet and smoke. He was playful and mischievous and wicked, but not evil, more like fae, sort of elven. And I felt this incredible affection for him, like a pet or a familiar, kind of like, you know, the way you feel about a child. And as far as vision work and shadow work and connecting with guides, this was one of my most impactful experiences lately, for sure. Like, I haven't experienced anything like this in years. It was immediate. It was really quick. There was no laboring to get there, straining to sink into it or to somehow reach it. Oh, connect. I just asked, you know, almost a subconscious thought about my shadow. What's the deal with working with my shadow? And it just appeared. I called it to me in just a microsecond. I was surprised, and although I guess I could have been quote-unquote afraid, because I know a lot of people would jump out of their skin if their inner kink monster daemon sort of slipped out of the floor and into their arms during yoga class, but I was delighted. I had this feeling like, oh, it's you. Well, there you are. You must be it. There was no shame or anxiety, and I knew that he, my little shadow, did not have those emotions, and that I needed to protect him from them. So I instantly reached for a face of joy, not a mask, not a pretend face, just a choice of reaction. Like, oh, he has no shame. I'm not going to project shame onto him. I'm going to be joyful with him in what he represents. So damn, that was Matt-tastic. I thought I was going to suck. And I was so quickly at home again, and it all felt really familiar. And it's like my interior yoga world has evolved in parallel to these other fitness activities. It wasn't as much a fork in the road as it was just a path in parallel that I could jump back over to. And I forgot the woo-woo part. Yes, I love that stuff. I think I might be able to really go somewhere cool now, somewhere new. So the new practice for me is actually doing both, because I've only ever chosen between them. Anyway, so maybe if I have some more good mat visions occur that are appropriate to share, I'll include them in the intro segments like this as something to talk about. I feel like it might come up again. I don't want to create too many expectations, but I did want to share that one with you because I thought it was cool. The idea of meeting your shadow and being joyful for its attitude toward the energy that it represents and lives within. Get down in the floor, play with your shadow. Before I forget, I do want to say a quick thank you to my newest supporter on Patreon, Stephanie Moss. Thank you, Stephanie, and thank you to all of you who continue to pledge your support on Patreon. It demonstrates that you're enjoying this show and you want it to continue. That's very encouraging to me, so thank you. Listeners who support the show on Patreon can access a guided meditation called Messages from Your Spirit Guides, exclusive bonus episodes, and there's also a mastery level of support where you can download one of my courses for free each month. To find out how you can become a patron, support my time in producing this show, and access all the extra bonus content, please go to patreon.com/shiftyourspirits. Have you been shoulding all over yourself? Are the voices playing in your head these days, starting sentences with you should this or you should that or I should? You know, I should feels a little better, a little more like you're driving, you're in control, it's intentional. But beware the I should probably. That probably, that's external. That's not originating within you. And along with all these things you're telling yourself you should be doing, if you do them, then it feels like you're faking it. It feels like a mask. It feels like a white lie at best. And if you're supposed to be shining your light, then putting a mask over that dims it. It's a shade. Imposter syndrome. Who the F do you think you are, acting like you're some kind of star? Nobody's buying it. Look at so-and-so over there. Look at her Instagram. She knows how to do it. She's barely even trying. And now we're into comparisonitis. See, this malaise is actually sort of a cluster of mind virus cancer cells. It's comparisonitis and imposter syndrome, referred to in pharmaceutical commercials as IS, and shoulding all over yourself. That's the big symptom. The past month or so in my world was difficult. In addition to all the typical holiday stuff and just having all your routines interrupted, my dad was also in the hospital. And although I should have had a lot of excuses and reasons to cut myself some slack, instead, I just kept thinking of all the things that a quote-unquote real Facebook group host would post. I kept being presented with the idea of things I was supposed to do or things I ought to do. And it actually became a little ridiculous because I was aware of it as a voice, as a program playing in the background, like a TV left on across the room. Somebody turned that shit off already. So I thought I ought to be posting like a solstice message because I would prefer to acknowledge that among all the holidays that we're acknowledging during the holidays. And I felt like I needed to let everyone know I'm down with solstice, you know. And then, of course, you know, do I do a Christmas message? That's always kind of awkward for a non-Christian because we celebrate quasi-pagan American Christmas. You know, I don't know. That's a conflict in and of itself. And then a New Year's message. Okay, that's a huge one for personal development bloggers and, you know, self-help people like me. And I saw all these Happy New Year's messages in the Facebook community, and I felt like, as the administrator, the originator of our group, I should somehow beam in. I should somehow, like, appear in a Facebook Live video, you know, or something. And I'm going to have to come back and do another post addressing goal setting and milestones and intentions and all that stuff, because it's a topic unto itself, and it's a little bit too much of a tangent at this moment. But these were the kind of things that were crossing my mind when I say I was shooting all over myself. That those were the detailed examples in the moment of how that was all manifesting. But the reality is, what I wanted to do during the holidays, like once the actual holidays hit and everyone was off doing all their stuff, I just wanted to retreat. You know, self-care was definitely what was called for, and I don't think anyone who looked in and took a peek at what was going on in my world and the lives of those close to me and my family and all that, I don't think anyone would have argued with me that, you know, you need to be just focused on some self-care. But I felt like in order to claim that, I had to rebel. I sure as shit couldn't phone it in or go through the motions, because that's IS for sure. Imposter syndrome. We're calling it IS now. And by rebel, I mean not call in sick, not apologize. I didn't want to have to explain it or announce it or do a Facebook post about how I'm not going to be on Facebook. Like, that annoys me. And I just wanted to ghost. AKA the Irish goodbye, the French exit, any number of other ethnophobic terms, which means, you know, leaving a social gathering without saying goodbye. One minute you're there at the bar, the party, and then the next you're just gone. Where did he go? And I've been practicing that for as long as I can remember. I know since childhood. I can remember at least an elementary school age Halloween costume party of some type at some time when I ghosted. It required my mother's assistance because, of course, she was driving, but somehow I pulled off a ghosting. And, you know, leaving without anyone noticing is one of the components of invisibility magic, which is something that I could say that I'm good at or that I enjoy practicing. I don't know that I enjoy it. I think I had to learn how to do it for any number of reasons. And I enjoy the fact that I'm good at it. And it's kind of fun to watch the effects of good invisibility magic and think, wow, that's cool that I can do that. But I need to talk about that another time too. But this idea of ghosting, the Irish goodbye, the French exit, and my friends in college kind of probably hated that about me. I was known to do it, and I let it be like a thing that I was known for, because then it was just a blank check. I could do it all the time. And after college, friends always wanted to ride with me when we went out because I didn't drink. I did designated driver on New Year's Eve for I can't even remember how many years. But I always used to say, all right, you know, you can ride with me to the club, but I will disappear on you. So just be prepared. I'll get you there, but you got to figure out how you're getting home, because I will disappear. And interestingly, when I think back to that, I realize what I really wanted to be doing when I wanted to disappear from the club was the same thing that I wanted to be doing now when I disappeared from everything. I just wanted to be home reading a book. And that's exactly what I did for New Year's. Not New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. I actually prefer New Year's Day so much that I just go to bed in preparation on New Year's Eve of having a luscious New Year's Day. And my New Year's Day intentions were to really, truly just take the day off, do nothing but drink caffeine, coffee, tea, watch Netflix, and read, and stay in my pajamas all day. It's hard for me not to work at least a little bit every day. And I did end up working for about 10 minutes because it was a Tuesday and I forgot to schedule everything. So I had to jump on Facebook and share a few links to my latest podcast episode for the sake of my guest, really more than for me. If it had been one of these solo episodes, I would have just been like, I'll do it tomorrow. But I didn't want her to not get the full, you know, backing and sharing and promotion that her show deserves. So, by the way, just for the record, lying around all day in pajamas, not doing anything, was depressing. It was physically depressing. I mean, like, it, you know, it programmed my body in a way that was really uncomfortable to me, and I don't think that I'm ever gonna even try that again. It honestly felt like being sick, but I wasn't, and it kind of made me almost have symptoms of, you know, being tired, like feeling fatigue, and who wants that, you know? But through all this, on New Year's Day, even when I was really intentionally just ghosting everything, I kept thinking, are the people in the Shift Your Spirits community wondering where I am? Do they realize I'm missing? Are they disappointed that I'm not putting some helpful something on their feed today? And I don't mean, you know, are they wondering where I am? Do they miss me? Like, I wanted to be missed. It was more like, oh crap, I hope I can get away with this and that they really don't care because I really need this. And I feel like if I could have asked you all to vote, you probably would have said it's okay. And there were so many wonderful, happy New Year messages on there anyway. You know, I would kind of look at them and scan once in a while, and I thought, oh, those are nice. So, you know, whoever is in there looking for that is getting a lot of it. They don't need mine. Like, it's just a drop in the bucket at this point. And to tell you honestly, it sometimes feels like I've thrown a party on social media and then chosen to stay upstairs. You know, like I'm having a party in my house, but I'm just like hanging out in my bedroom with my cats, because social media for me has always been a necessity of my business more than a real kind of personal impulse. My personal impulse is always to ghost. I don't know. Did you guys criticize my absence? Did you think, wow, what a lousy leader he is? You know, or did you even notice? Or did you think maybe I was recovering from a stressful holiday period with a parent in the hospital? Because you saw me post about that. And so you kind of knew maybe what was going on with me. But you know what? Who cares what you think about me? Who cares what anyone thinks about you or me or anyone? That's kind of the point of all those thoughts, all the shooting all over yourself. What do you really want to do? What do you need? And why isn't that acceptable? Why isn't that enough? How are you shooting all over yourself? What areas of your life? What's it about? It's got to be about something to do with the public, with other people, with those around you outside your own head, with some perceived external judgment from the world. But is that even real, or are you projecting it? And what happens if you just don't? If you're honest with your true inclinations and desires and needs, and you just say, I'm not going, I'm not showing up, I'm not calling, I'm not explaining, I'm not apologizing. And even as I say that, I'm thinking, isn't that a little rude, though? You gotta make some excuses and apologies, you know, just to keep from hurting other people's feelings. One of my favorite memes is a picture of a t-shirt that I really need to track down and order. It's just a black t-shirt and it has big white block letters on it. And it says, "Sorry I'm late. I didn't want to come." And that kind of sums up my social life. I'm one of those people who kind of gets excited if you cancel plans with me. I go, oh, yes, I feel a sense of relief. So it still assumes an apology. Sorry, I'm late. I didn't want to come. It draws sarcastic attention to the issue and makes you more of an asshole. But one of my favorite Oprah quotes or Oprah-isms is, no is a complete answer. It's okay to say no without an excuse or an explanation or a white lie or a justification. What if you just say no? What can you really get away with just saying no to? If you're a spiritual person and you're trying to better yourself and be best, you probably want to come from a place of yes. So that's sticky, right? I want to come from a place of yes, but I need to say no and not apologize for it when I need to. It sounds good, but that's all kind of hard to follow through on, I think. And so maybe do this. Maybe get clear about what you're saying yes to for the right or wrong reasons. What are you saying no to for the right or wrong reasons? Just get clear about that. Do you say no because of a fear of success? Then you should probably come from a place of yes then, right? It's so easy to convince ourselves that every invitation is an opportunity. Have you ever thought something like, yeah, but what if I don't go to the Christmas party and like my soulmate was there and then we didn't meet? You know, like some bad romantic comedy situation. But let's be honest. You know there are some things that you just want to say no to. Obligations. What happens if you say no? Really? What happens? What about instead of explaining or apologizing, you just don't say the word sorry anymore? There was a meme going around last year that I loved so much, and it was about replacing sorry with thank you. So instead of saying, sorry I'm late, you say, thank you for waiting on me. Instead of saying, sorry I'm talking your ear off, you say, thank you for taking the time to listen. I know Oprah said no is a complete answer, but I think we can still make it pretty. You could say, thank you for the invitation. I'm really grateful you included me. I won't be able to attend. Have a fantastic time. Let's catch up soon and you can tell me all about it. They're excited. They don't want to hear about the drama going on in your world that you're using as an excuse not to come. So just wish them well, wish them happiness and say, have a great time. Tell me about it later. Are you mad at me for choosing to be alone in my tower over the holidays? And just ignore all that solstice, Christmas, New Year's stuff and just not be there for it? Are you disappointed? Do you resent me? You're not. You don't. I've talked to some of you about this and I know what your response is. And you know, your friends and family and clients, they're probably okay with your choices too. Whatever it is you're trying to be, perfect parent, perfect professional, perfect creative, perfect partner, perfect spouse, perfect planner, you notice the theme there. Shooting all over yourself is about perfectionism. You're not going to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect. Maybe we should remove the word sorry and should from our vocabulary, and we can also remove the word perfect. My friend Seth has a mantra for this. it always turns out wonderful anyway. Thanks again for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. For show notes, links, transcripts, and all the past episodes, please visit shiftyourspirits.com. You can subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or whatever app you prefer. If you'd like to get an intuitive reading with me or download a free ebook and meditation to help you connect with your guides, please go to sladeroberson.com. And if you're interested in my professional intuitive training program, you can start the course for free by downloading the attunement at automaticintuition.com. Before I go, I promise to leave you a message and answer to a question or concern you may have. So take a moment to think about that. Hold it in your mind or speak it out loud. I'll pause for just a few seconds right now. What's something you used to do that worked for you and you liked it, and then for whatever reason you stopped doing it? Doesn't matter why. No judgment about it. You may think it has nothing to do with the question you just asked, but the answer will come to you attached to that activity or practice or whatever it is. So go do it again and see what you find. And I'll talk to you later.